Hey everyone, I'm Beattie Cohen-Ferrados, and welcome again, my friends, to the Ask Beattie Show. And I am really, really happy to be here with you today. I had a really, really stressful weekend. I actually saw patients for most of the weekend. I had a couple of people who were acutely suicidal, and actually, just looking forward to today's show here on the Ask Beattie Show. It's a form of real pleasure and relaxation for me, and it's going to give me an opportunity to heal. And of course, later on, I have a really amazing guest, Dr. Christopher Macklin, who is a healer. And I think that it was meant to be that today Dr. Macklin is going to be talking about how we can all really heal through the chaos. Well, for those of you who are tuning in to the Ask Beattie Show for the very first time, and you know, by the way, I can hardly believe that I have been hosting this show here on the Progressive Radio Network since 2012. It's like, where has the time gone? But I'm a psychotherapist and a sex therapist and the author of For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. And I talk so much about this book. I wrote it for my daughter, Jordana. And the book came about as a result of my research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence, and Connecticut area. And what I did is that I developed a 10-step formula, which actually works because people who know me, they know me that I am very, very bottom line. If it doesn't work, let's not waste our time talking about it. But this formula is something that can actually change your life and change the course of your relationships forever. So what is this formula really all about? Well, it helps you assess, yes, assess who is right for you and who is wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. Because when you think about it, we assess everything in our lives, our phones and our computers and our cars and our iPads. And yet when we think about relationships and we think about love, we want the love. We want the happily ever ending story. And I think that the majority of people, we have not been fortunate enough to really learn the ingredients that go into a healthy relationship. And I think because we are so wanting love and we are so wanting connection that we bypass a process, an assessment process. And trust me, we cannot afford to bypass this process any longer. And we frequently end up with people who we really, really don't know. So for those of you who are serious, and serious is really the word, about once and for all, learning how to really never make a mistake in love again, I encourage you to read the book, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. And as it happens, I'm going to be doing a presentation from the East Hampton Library. Now, unfortunately, it's going to be on Zoom. And this is on Tuesday, June the 29th at 6 p.m. So all you have to do, and it's free, by the way. So all you have to do is Google Never Make a Mistake in Love Again, Beattie Cohen at the East Hampton Library, and you will be able to register and you will be able to participate in the presentation. So what do we do here on the Ask Beattie Show? Well, my goal is for all of us to become empowered. And what does empowered mean? Well, we need to do a number of things, including eating well and taking supplements and meditating to improve the quality of our lives and our relationships. So on this show, we naturally talk about mental health issues and sexuality and relationships. And the bottom line is that we have to all be thinking every single day, and for some people, every single hour, about all of the things that we need to do that are actually in our best interest so that we are not getting in our own way. So my mantra for years and years has been acknowledge and address and resolve as best as we can the things that actually get in the way of our lives and our relationships, and that get in the way of our being able to really live a joyful and happy life. And what I have hopefully convinced you over the years is that we do not need to take this journey on our own. And reaching out to family and friends, if you're lucky enough to have good and sane family and friends, and of course, if need be, professionals, make our life's journey easier and less isolated, alienated, and lonely. But you know, one of the things that's this weekend really reminded me about, I saw a number of new patients who were struggling with addictions of various different kinds, and depression, and failed and disappointing relationships, trying to understand what that has really been all about. How did the people, why did the people really get off track? And what I found, of course, not only this weekend, but for the past 35 plus years that I have been practicing as a psychotherapist and a psychotherapist, is that things really begin at the beginning. And in every single situation, going back to one's family of origin and trying to understand, what did we learn? What did we not learn? What did we get? What did we not get? Answer so many questions of how people then navigate their lives and their relationships. And this particular weekend, the people that I saw, they all came from abusive relationships of various different kinds: verbally abusive, sexually abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive. And all they wanted when they grew up was to have happy lives. And yet those old, what I call skeletons in the closet, and the old unfinished business that, of course, we can't change. We can't change anything that's happened even a second ago. But what I have found is that there is not a shortcut. I think it is great to be embracing all of the things today that we can do, including, you know, eating well and exercising. And these are things that are absolutely critical. But the misstep, I believe, is that people have not been encouraged enough to go back and emotionally process. And again, we can't change what happened and what didn't happen, but there is a way to be able to emotionally process the traumas and the pain and the abuse and the neglect. And in that way, people have clarity. They have clarity about their lives. They have clarity about their relationships. They have clarity about their choices. And the best news of all is that in going through this process, you are then able to fully, or let's say almost fully, live in the moment, live in the present, without having one foot in the past and one foot in the present. And I've seen this over and over and over again, that people who have not been fortunate enough to either know about this process or to take this journey, and it's not a fun journey, it is a painful journey to have to really go back and address the abuse that you sustained as a child or the neglect. And yet in not doing this, you know, what happens typically is that people tend to repeat their history. I mean, I think of one patient of mine who grew up in a very, very deprived, emotionally, verbally, physically abusive relationship. She's brilliant and she's wonderful and she's smart in so many different ways. And yet what she has done throughout her entire life is continue to play out those old dysfunctional, self-destructive family dynamics. And I think that she and I have been working together for a while. And, you know, it's something, you know, I said to her recently, it's like that you are a magnet and she is a magnet. And so many people are magnets to the abusive situations that they actually grew up with, because they feel familiar. And it is this kind of clarity that people really, really need if they are going to be able to break that pattern. And virtually, I mean, everybody that I see, you know, is coming into therapy, relationship problems, infidelity of various different kinds, anxiety, depression, even some, and this weekend, suicidal, ideation. And invariably, what brings people in is that something has happened today. And yet, when you look deeply, deeply into today and look at the person's issues, almost invariably, the problems began years and years ago. And of course, the good news is that it is never too late. Even though we are unable to change our history, the process of working through all of the different things in your life, the disappointments and the hurts and the abuse, it gives you a sense of clarity in the present so that you are then able to have a light go off inside of you, reminding you when you are stepping in to a familiar abusive situation yet again, that hopefully that light, it is blinking. It is really blinking inside of you, reminding you that you need to get away from those very dysfunctional and self-destructive and abusive patterns that you grew up with and that were patterns that were very, very familiar. So this is where, you know, when people talk about psychotherapy, I've never been one to do what I call bandage therapy. People who work with me, they work very, very hard. The sessions are painful. The sessions are very intensive. And yet, you know, I was saying to somebody over the weekend that in my personal life, I'm probably one of the most impatient people that you will ever, ever, ever want to meet. And yet, of course, professionally, I have an enormous amount of patience. And if there was a way, if I had found a way to short circuit doing the kind of emotional and psychological, psychiatric work that helps people really come out of that tunnel of pain and self-blame, I think I would have discovered this a very, very, very long time ago. Because if you're looking at what's going on in this country, I mean, a third of Americans, according to the American Medical Association, are suffering from various degrees of depression. 40% of Americans are exhibiting a variety of signs of anxiety. And look at what is happening. If we're looking at suicide ideation and suicide, the nation's suicide rate reached historic highs, not during the pandemic, but prior to COVID, with rates at the highest level since World War II. But the thing is that there are many, many things that we can do every single day to improve our emotional and our physical well-being. And yes, we need to be mindful and we need to be self-disciplined. And it's just so easy to give up on oneself and on life. But there's a new learning curve that we all need to want to embrace and get on board and accept. You know, for example, okay,
lack of physical fitness. We know this. We read about this every single day in the newspapers and in the magazines. It's linked to heightened risk of mental disorders. Weight training is a great antidote for anxiety. And there was an 80-year Harvard study that said that the one thing that is going to make you happier and healthier, according to Robert Wallander, who is a psychiatrist and is currently directing the Harvard study of adult development, that one of the most comprehensive studies of emotional well-being in history, of course, has to do with good relationships, which keep us happier and healthier. And they don't just protect our minds, they protect our bodies and they protect our brains. And great relationships are built on trust. So building trust requires constant communication and authenticity and honesty and dependability and helpfulness, showing appreciation, showing empathy. And there was also an interesting Japanese secret to a longer and happier life. And it'll be interesting to hear what Dr. Christopher Macklin has to say about this. I'm going to be introducing him in a couple of minutes. So the Japanese secret to a longer and happier life is gaining attention from millions around the world. And of course, I'm always really curious to find out, you know, new secrets, longer and happier life. I'm all in. So in Japanese, Aiki, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, means to live, and Gei means reasons. So in other words, your reason to live, your raison d'être. Finding reasons to get up in the morning, and studies show that people who reported having ikigai in their lives had reduced risks of cardiovascular disease and lower mortality rates, and having a sense of purpose, that reason to get out of the bed every single day, encourages one to build a happy and active life. And finding joy in the smallest things. For example, did you know that gardening increases longevity? It gets you into nature and it's good exercise. And just think about it, you can even eat what you grow. And of course, giving back, you know, sometimes I wonder, in giving back to all of the people and all of the patients that I've treated over the years, whether I've gotten so much out of giving back and have met people that I would normally have never, ever have met in my own life, how much this has enriched my own life. So I want to just give you a couple of my weekly tips, and I really hope you're going to take them in before I introduce Dr. Macklin. Just remember, and of course you hear this from Dr. Gary Null every single day, plant-based diets, fruits and vegetables, grains, fish, nuts, herbs, and supplements. Take this seriously. And people in Sardinia, they happen to live the longest. So what do they do? And I really want to know, what do people who live the longest? Well, what do they do? I want to live to 1,000 and I want to be healthy. So they eat healthily, they interact and socialize. And that is so critical because people these days, I mean, there is a loneliness epidemic. And I'm constantly encouraging people to find a sense of community, to find a sense of connection, because that really does sustain us. So interacting and socializing and sleeping 8 hours a night and taking naps, that's what they do in Sardinia. And of course, exercise, weight training, yoga, meditation, massage, whatever you can possibly do to help yourself feel centered. And of course, having supportive people in your life and eliminating toxins. And of course, when we talk about toxins, most people initially think about chemical toxins. Well, when I talk about toxins, I talk about toxic people. And people who've been listening to the show for the last number of years, you know that I have a zero toxicity policy. I don't want anyone in my life who is toxic. And I suggest that you think about doing the same kind of thing, and not just think about it, but actually try to eliminate people. Crazy making toxic people will make us crazy. And of course, things like positive visualization and dancing and listening to music and herbal teas and essential oils and journaling and getting a dog. You know, we live on the Upper West Side in New York City, and there are more dogs here than I think about, even though we are so connected to our phones and our computers. Think about just shutting them off a lot of the time and find yourself in a place where you can really be centered and where you can have a real sense of balance. Well, we are going to move into the next segment of the show, and I promised you I have a really, really wonderful guest who I have actually wanted to interview, and of course I wanted to meet for a very, very long time, Dr. Christopher Macklin. And Dr. Macklin, he is a powerful channeling medium and healer from England. And of course, Dr. Macklin, you may not know, but I am Canadian, so we share the Commonwealth. And he utilizes divine healing techniques, which he's going to explain to us. I do not know what they are. Cultivated to help people recover from all types of illnesses. And Dr. Macklin is able to heal many people simultaneously. And I want to hear more about that, with rebalancing the body's energy field by clearing chakra points and cleansing the body's meridian field by removing blockage and negative energies. And we're going to be talking today about healing through the chaos. And there is a lot of chaos in our lives today. How to raise our vibration to heal ourselves. And by the way, I want you to know that Dr. Macklin conducts 3 times weekly global healing meditations. And I'm going to give you that link. That is globalenlightenmentproject.com. And I know that I'm certainly going to go there. And well, Dr. Macklin, welcome again to the Ask Beattie Show. It's just a pleasure to have you here with me today.
Oh, Beattie, yay. Thank you so much for having me on. And I love you. Put a massive, you probably can't see it, but a massive smile on my face with what you're talking about. It's just exactly what I agree with, you know, absolutely.
Well, I am so glad to be here with a fellow Commonwealth person who has done so much. And you've really had, I mean, an amazing, interesting journey that led you to your work as a medical, intuitive, and healer, and spiritual messenger. So listen, bring us up to speed about your background and how you actually found yourself in this incredible world that you are in and the millions of people that you are helping around the world. How did this all begin?
Well, at the age of 4, I realized I could see what they call interdimensional beings, entities, things. You know, this might take some people, listeners, outside the box, but they're there. And of course, you know, I saw one night and said, "Dad, there's a reptilian thing in my room." He comes running up and, "Well, I can't see it," you know. I thought I was nuts, of course. And I see a lot of things. And after that, I realized I learned to manage them and get them out of my room just by basically the power of intent, like, "Get out of my room." It disappeared. Whoa. Now, of course, if you speak to psychiatrists, a lot of people don't understand this thing, but I do work with a lot of psychiatrists because we have meditations to rebalance neurochemical flow and different things. But anyway, moving on, so I never fitted in the world, and I speak to a lot of people that I don't fit in this world. And there's a lot of starseed people here who are kind of hijacked, get depressed because they're not integrating into this particular world. And I tell them, well, why try? Exactly what you said. Why try? What you need to do is get yourself into a place where you've got people who love you, who hold the space, who don't suck the life out of you, who don't think you're nuts. and then, yay, life's brilliant. You know, it really is. So I moved on, went bankrupt in 2007, went through the dark night of the soul. I think a lot of people do. Like, why are we here? What's happening? I've gone bankrupt. I've got no money. Didn't have money for food. And then I kind of got over myself. At one point, I hated money, and then came to America and opened an office. Build it, they'll come, they said. They didn't. Well, what on earth has happened here? You know, the office is open. Where is everybody? You know,
right.
So I said to God. I mean, I do define God as God, Goddess, Prime Creator of all that is. So I said to God, I don't understand what's happening. And there was this massive message: it's within. Get out there. Okay. So I remember going to the first place, Unity Church, St. Petersburg. They wanted to speak. The thing was absolutely, I mean, I was shocked. No one's ever heard of me. Turned up, shocked. It was packed and people were banging on the door. I want to come in. So anyway, I did this presentation. Everyone loved it. And it took off from there. But, you know, it's no use, you know, I don't know what you call it. I mean, the church or the gift is within, you know. But one thing I've learned, which is really important, like you said, is you need to find that inner passion. You need, and to me, everyone's got a gift. Everyone on this planet's got a gift. It's just that most people don't know it. I mean, you know, I've got a gift of healing. You know, I'll leap out of bed in the morning getting excited, like, yeah, we're going to work on so many people today. And like you say, it gives you a purpose. And I think that's really important for everybody. You know, how many times do you hear, I hear, you know, with clients, well, I hate my job. Relationship's no good. Well, you know, to me, let's change it. And let's change it right now, you know, because... And then people say, well, how am I going to afford to live? Well, if you've got a gift, a God-given gift, you'll find that where love flows, money goes, and or energy goes, whether it's money or things you need, and you'll never have a problem. I remember having a reading 20 years ago. This lady said, well, she did a reading. Well, you're going to have a new wife. You're going to go to America. You're going to find God, and you're going to live off donations. What?
Did that happen? Did that actually happen to you? I mean, we know you're in America, but did those things happen?
Yep. I live in America. We have a 501c3. I live off donations. It's all donation-based. And we have 10 staff. You know, it's a big enterprise. We work on about 100,000 people a week. If you have a look at, you know, the generic healing groups, which is an hour, we go through almost everything. And, you know, we have about 20,000 people per video on YouTube, per video on Facebook, and we have a lot of people on Zoom and everything else. So, and we also do one-to-one sessions. We do specialized groups where we talk to everybody and then do the healing after. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's booked about 3 months out. So I'm kind of thinking, whoa, you know. So I'm saying this because I want to encourage people, you know, if they're an artist, if I went to a gallery and I did some paintings, they'd say, get out. It's terrible because that's not my gift. You know, get out and don't come back. And everyone's got a different gift. And I think it's so important. If you can find that gift and that inner passion, inner strength to give you the, like you said before, a reason to get up in the morning and get excited about life. Because if you don't, all you're doing is you're in a matrix where you're just going to work, can't stand my job. You get home, you have a paycheck that probably doesn't cover the bills, you struggle with your bills, you struggle with everything. When you step outside that matrix, I always view it like a swimming pool. You know, humanity is in a swimming pool at the moment. Dare I say it, they're pooing and weeing in it. Do you want to dive in the swimming pool? Probably not. So let's stay on the periphery, and it's our job, I think, as facilitators, to help pluck people out of the swimming pool and help them see a different way of life. And to get back to this, what I call in quotes, divine alignment or the God space, whatever you want to call it, and you'll find it will just change your life. You really will.
Well, you know, what I have found, Dr. Macklin, is that nobody ever calls me to, help me to improve my communication and problem solving skills. There is always a major, major, major crisis in one's life, whether it's a divorce or an extramarital affair or somebody has a terrible, you know, illness that's just been recently diagnosed. Do you find that as well, that the people who contact you are in incredible pain as the people who contact me?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, even with cancer, you know, what's cancer caused by? Well, If you look at the primary cause of cancer, it's emotion. Secondary cause, pathogenic infection. Because your vibration drops and you feel depressed, then the cells mutate, turn into tumours. So really, the cancer tumour, in my opinion, again, it's my opinion, is a tumour saying, hey, your body's off balance, you better do something about it, or I will pay attention to you. And if you do something about it, like release that emotion, you get your vibration up, we get rid of the pathogenic infections, have a new protocol to strip those out of the body very quickly, then, you know, the tumor's history, we then use a very special energy, I call it space-time continuum, and it basically changes the molecular structure of the tumor, so the tumor gets softer and shrinks. But it is a symptom, you know. Cancer's not a cause, it's a symptom. And the same with everything, diabetes. Why does diabetes happen? Pancreas gets paralyzed, doesn't produce insulin. Or the receptors that measure the insulin go off balance, and so you get hyperglycemia, or you get low sugar. Either one, you know, a lot of problems with the eyes, macula, cataract is a tumor. Cataract's a tumor. You know, it's caused by viral infection in the eye. Macular degeneration, the same. It degenerates the membrane. There's so many things, you know, and like you said before, it is a toxic world, but the biggest toxicity, in my opinion, is exactly that. It's emotion. It's basically all over the place. Like you said, Facebook, YouTube, all these things, you know, people get so addicted to it. I see kids on these games, you know, they're... One of the things about, there's a lot of reptilian energy, what I call reptilian energy around, is very addictive. So as soon as they get on these things, bang, you know, they're addicted for life. And it's such a shame to see that, because what a waste of a life playing some silly game when you can actually get out there amongst nature and, like you say, do some gardening or do some painting or do some healing, and you can actually make a living out of it. And it excites you, you know. It's one of my real passions.
and look at what's happening, you know, when you mention, you know, young people, and I'm sure you know this, that the suicide rate for young people ages, and I can't even believe the statistics, from 5 to 24, I mean, we've never seen these kinds of rates. With all the technology, the isolation and the alienation and the loneliness and the disconnect. I mean, it's really quite unbelievable where people are on their phones and looking at whether somebody has tweeted or whether they've responded to the email. I mean, the whole thing, you know, is really crazy making. And yet, as you say, you know, people have become, I think, quite addicted to their phones and their computers, and are basically missing out on life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even to the point where they're looking at it and then you bang into a lamppost. Oh, I didn't see it, you know, because you're not even aware. You're not self-aware of any surrounding or anything else. You know, I've sat in a restaurant, sadly, like the family. They're all on their phones texting, you know, either each other or somebody else. And the family's there. You think, wow, put the phones away. Let's focus on the family. Let's communicate. Communication's gone, you know. Everyone needs a lawyer nowadays to talk to different things and negotiate different things when we're all capable of actually interfacing with people ourselves. It's a bit crazy, but you know, one of my jobs is to pull it back out. You know,
one of the things that I am so interested in hearing about is energy healing, and I have to confess, I know very little about it. In fact, very recently, my 38-year-old daughter, she had talked about the possibility of working with an energy healer. So I want to learn. So when somebody comes to you, whether or not it's with a disease like cancer or depression, or any particular kind of ailment that is getting in the way of their life and relationships, what exactly do you do as an energy healer? Take us through a process that goes on when people are working with you, Dr. Macklin.
Well, what I can do is remote view inside the body. That means you get videos in your mind of what's happening in the body. So I can look for attachments, for example. I don't know whether you believe in attachments, but they attach to people. These things attach to people. They suck the life out of you. They tap in the lower back. They send negative thoughts. So I look for those, remove them. And then what we do is we give them energy. Now, I put them in a portal. It might sound strange, this, to people listening, but people get put in a portal. That means I work with people, you know, beings, angelic beings called the Bekuvet beings. I was born as one. So you're almost like a conductor of the orchestra where, you know, you look at the adrenals. A lot of people have adrenal issues. Why is that? Because of emotion. It bleeds into the adrenals. So they can actually go and clear the adrenals. It's kind of like psychic surgery in a way where they basically just clear the adrenals. We can get the liver function back up. We could look at things like the intestines. Again, everyone has IBS and gluten, lactose, some sort of intolerance. And they say, well, you know, my intestines are fine as long as I don't eat that. Well, they're not fine because you should be able to digest anything. So emotion, again, bleeds into the solar plexus. It paralyzes the lower intestines. When you eat, as it gets further down, it slows up, it backs up, it starts to ferment in the wrong place, burns holes in the intestinal lining, can get worse, becomes pockets in the intestinal lining called diverticulitis. So, you know, again, the mechanism there being to clear the energies and start to, and of course you have to then release emotion. And like you said before, emotions create patterns. Patterns create emotions. You've got to break the cycle. And, you know, we can end up with, like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of energy layers of emotion around the heart. That's why people are suffering with heart issues and anxiety and depression. So all the mechanisms that beings within those 100,000 layers, again, it's like kind of psychic surgery. They go look for the biggest layer affecting you right now. They can pull it out energetically. Then the next biggest pull that out. So they can do, for example, say 5,428 releases of emotion. It is a lot in one go, but if they get your biggest emotion releases, of course, in normally 2 hours the next day you get a reaction. You might bawl your eyes out for 5 or 10 minutes, might get a bout of diarrhea, where people purge through the intestines sometimes, might get weird dreams or yawning, coughing, however they release. But it is a very quick method of releasing, and it really helps a lot of people, you know, especially in this day and age, because we'll never ever, I don't think, for a long, long time on this planet, ever ingested so much emotion as we do today. You know?
Exactly. I mean, I'm so thrilled to hear you talking, you know, like this about the importance of emotion, because I have some real issues with American mental health. I mean, I hear this all the time. People go in for their 45-minute sessions, or if they're lucky, a 50-minute session. Bandages, you know, is put on the various different kinds of, in quotes, infections. Behavioral modification or behavior modification, cognitive behavioral therapy, that is the name of the game. I mean, that's the number one, you know, therapeutic orientation that is used here in America, where they miss getting to the root of the problem, really getting to the emotions, getting to the trauma, getting to the real issues that hamper people's lives and relationship. And this is, you know, our quick fix, you know, our quick fix society. You know, let's just do it all now. Let's just put a bandage on the infection without even looking at what is this infection really all about. And I'm Absolutely. Just, you know, I'm so delighted to hear you say that it's not just about taking vitamins and it's not just about, you know, exercising, but that there is a whole systemic way of healing ourselves, including, of course, the importance of helping people deal with their emotions and what I call the skeletons in the closet and the unfinished business. And, you know, when you put all these things together, people have a shot at being able to improve the quality of their lives and the quality of their relationships. And unless they do all of this, as you say, it's just business as usual with more pain, more physical pain, and more psychic pain.
Well, I think also as well, you know, it's interesting, you know, I always think that the biggest impact events, the biggest things that happen to you in a negative way, are the biggest blessing for growth. And people don't realize that, you know. So if you get something like, I went bankrupt and, you know, things happened to me and, you know, it was just like a nightmare. I had no money for food. And I look back at that, I think, wow, what a blessing, you know, because I had a Bentley then, all this and that daft nonsense, it all disappeared. What a blessing, because it taught me about stuff. That stuff, you know, whatever it is, cars, houses, who cares? Doesn't actually matter. What matters is what you do and who you're with and who's around you. And I think, I really think, you know, and you either stay, you know, in these events, you either stay as like a powerless victim where you just give your power away, or it turns you around and you take your power back. And of course, it takes a bit of time. You don't just take your power back straight away. You have to go through the grief and, you know, the releasing of emotion. But wow, when you get the other side, it's amazing. You know, my dad taught me a lot. You know, he's very crabby. He's 87. He's still crabby, actually. But again, we have to set boundaries. You know, I set a big boundary about 6 months ago when he started showing me, well, he went bankrupt. I was so embarrassed. I said, Dad, you know, I work on 100,000 people. And I said, you know what? I'm very comfortable with myself in what I do. And I just couldn't do anything better. And if money matters to you so much and you're going to try and shame me, then I've decided that I'm not going to speak to you for a while. And I put the phone down and didn't speak to him. We're done.
Good for you, because that is something that I see all the time, is that people, let's say initially their inability to set boundaries, and that they allow people to cross over that really important line, and the consequences are devastating. So you were able to do that with your father. So what was his response when you said, hey, I need to take a time out from our relationship
Well, I actually went further. I wrote to him and I basically said, our conversation was both passive aggressive, narcissistic, and I'm not okay with that. I said, in addition, you know, when we were young, you, verbally and physically abused us, which is pretty disgusting. And I said, so before you start projecting all your stuff on me, you should look within. And he got really upset. We didn't talk for about 8-10 weeks. Do you know, yesterday on Father's Day, he actually apologized. He said, I'm so sorry for that conversation.
Wow.
And I said to him, you know, we're talking all, he doesn't believe in the things I believe in, like vaccines, this, that, and the other, you know. We have a different perception. And I said, look, Dad, who's right, who's wrong? You believe in vaccines, I don't. You believe in the mass, you believe in all the stuff that you hear on BBC and everything, I don't. Am I right or wrong? Or are you right or wrong? And I said, the answer is nobody's right or wrong. It depends on your perception of this world. And so, you know, you can't go and judge. And, you know, we go back to Jesus' teaching. I'm not a Christian, but, you know, I love Jesus' teachings. He talked about don't judge anybody. And the reason is because their perception is their perception of this life, with where they're at on their journey. And my perception is different because I'm on a different journey. But nobody's right or wrong. And, you know, you can't judge or shame people for what they do. You just have to love them for where they're at. And that's a really important thing, I think, perception.
So your relationship with your own father sounds like it's going to be on a very, very new and better path.
Absolutely. Well, because the boundaries I said to him, please never show me again. But if you do, I will put the phone down. It's not because I don't love you, but it's because I've set a boundary that I don't deserve to be shamed. You know, I do great work. I do my very best in this life. And he apologized. I said, I should never have said that. I'm really sorry. And, you know, and I said, well, you know, that's okay. Let's just, let's make it positive. Let's get some real, you know, positive energy around. I don't want to be shamed, and that's okay. And I encourage everyone out there to set boundaries, you know, because what will happen is the person will either walk out your life or they'll completely turn around.
Exactly.
And I think there's another thing as well. When you get your vibration up and, you know, you get higher and higher, you don't tend to talk a lot of what I call blah, blah, blah. You know,
right.
You know what I mean by
right.
Blah, blah,
right.
Blah. Third dimensional blah, blah, blah. In fact,
I think a lot of people, you know, what I've found over the years really have difficulty setting these boundaries, and that the abusive behavior, neglectful behavior, or disgusting behavior is something that they've really gotten used to in their lives, typically beginning, you know, with their own family of origins. And it takes so much courage and so much work to feel that I deserve better. And as you say, Dr. Macklin, saying to the person, if you talk to me like this, this conversation is over, and then being able to really follow through and put the phone down. But, you know, I think it's wonderful, particularly on Father's Day, that your father was able to really take it in and really heard you maybe for the first time.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he kind of gets a long time ago on my mother's will, he kind of said, wow, you've got a gift. But then, people forget things and, you know, move on. And, I also encourage people not to do people pleasing. Don't ever do people pleasing. You know, I used to do it myself, so I'm guilty. You know, when I was younger, we used to invite people around, their neighbours and things like this, and always used to have someone on your list. Do you really want to invite them? Well, we have to, but you don't. But we did, and of course, the whole night you're exhausted because they're talking blah 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 things that, you know, drop your energy, suck the life out of you. At the end of the night, wow, I'm absolutely exhausted. So, you know, again, you should take your power back. You know, if you don't want that neighbor or don't want somebody else in the house, then don't do it. You know, set the boundary. You know, just invite the people who love you and who take care of you. I've had, a couple of people around here who've gone for dinner with me and, well, what do you do for a living? And, oh, dear. And people are very stoic Christian, which is fine. But you can see you start talking about the healing and their eyes glaze over, oh, this guy's nuts. And, you know, I thought, oh, well, then you never see them again. But I always, I'm always authentic.
Well, you know, one of the things I give people the same homework after every single session. And I'm really curious what you think about the homework. And the homework is to be mindful every single day as you navigate your days at work, at home, with friends, with family, to be mindful of doing what is in your best interest. And this is something that, you know, most people, I think, don't even ever really think about. And just having them stop and think about, is this good for me? Is this good for me? Is this relationship good for me? Is this food good for me? Really helps people to, get on a much more positive and constructive path and eliminate the self-sabotaging and self-destructive process that many have been involved in their lives for most of their lives. So it's stopping and being mindful. And is this good for me? Is this food? Is this person? Is this conversation? And I find that people find this very difficult to do, Dr. Macklin.
Oh, yeah. And even get our relationships up. Well, you know, I can't afford to divorce him because I can't afford it. You know, well, so you stay in a relationship because of what? Money? You have to be kidding, you know. And to be honest, you know, I encourage people to stay together, but if they're not compatible, don't do it, because you're never going to get anywhere. You're just going to have a very miserable life. You know, you're going to ingest a lot of emotion and, probably going to get chronic fatigue because your adrenals are going to get shot. Time to get out of it. You get OCD and ADD and ADHD and all these things, you know. We deal a lot with that. I've got a lot of psychiatrists who actually use the meditations, because what it does is it releases the emotion that is triggering the PTSD or ADD. So again, the mechanical step beings go in, and then what they do is they work again in the brain on the actual glands that produce the GABA, serotonin, dopamine, and we've had absolutely amazing results. And after a few uses of these meditations, I call it the brain series, you can find that the ADD and ADHD and OCD start subsiding, and it's just wonderful.
Exactly. Well, I love what you're saying. And I know that many of your clients have encountered a lot of problems in using, you know, traditional medicine. So they come to you after they've had very little success. So what do you do to help them have success with you, or other modalities and traditional medicines have failed? What goes on?
Well, you always get people. Oh, we always get people. I mean, for example, Lyme disease. We can get rid of Lyme disease, HIV, AIDS, Agent Orange, Morgellons, these things, you know. And traditional medicines, with these type of diseases, there's no cure for it. You know, we have a way of, stripping out the body using a protocol, which is actually timeline splitting. This will take you way outside the box, but it's actually splitting your timeline. It's had amazing results. Worked on about 320 people up to now, a 20-week program. Gets rid of that. You know, if people come and, you know, oh, I've got stage 4 cancer, the doctor's done with me, we release the emotion. We start releasing the emotion fast, working on the pathogens to kill them off, and then frying the tumors, you know. I mean, I see so many people who come from damage from these third dimensional things, because, you know, radiation, it not only tries to fry the tumor, it fries everything around it. You know, I remember one lady who had a tumor in a neck, and they used radiation, it just blew a whole jaw up, you know. So in 5 years' time, her jaw was rotting. I thought, wow, you've got to be kidding. So she had to have a jaw replacement. Anyway, we started rebuilding and working on the scar tissue, and she got a lot better. But, you know, again, if you don't get rid of the primary cause, just working on the tumor, frying it or burning it, is not going to help because, you know, they say you're in remission. Well, of course you are, because the primary and secondary cause are still there with the cancer. And again, so if you release that, you know, it's just so important. Primary cause emotion. It's crazy.
No, it really does. It all seems to originate with this whole emotional, either the emotional well-being or the emotional lack of well-being. And I really love the fact that you understand and that you work with people in a way where the emotions are critical, you know, in helping people to deal with all of their emotional baggage, their current, their past, that helps really free them up to be able to live happy lives without disease. I mean, I think it's really something that people need to, to really take in. You know, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to ask you very quickly about your new mind, body, spirit healing series that helps to rebalance the mind and brain and assist in transmitting the energies of different mind-brain imbalances. How can people access this series?
Well, if you have a look at the website, the brain series is there, because it's labeled like PTSD, ADHD, ADD, OCD, and, you know, if you want to try them, you know, get them, play, you can play them every night, and, you know, it'll really help. And I think that's something that's an anxiety, of course, as well. Everyone, I mean, who hasn't got anxiety? I mean, I don't. I love this world. But, you know, so many people I see have got anxiety, and you know, they're really triggered very quickly, and it really helps. And I think, if people want to join the generic healing groups 3 times a week, we do that by donation. If you've got no money, it's okay. Just come on them. Because that's why we do, and we have probably about 40,000 people who use it 3 times a week. That's 80,000 people, you know, working with these generalized groups, and they love them. You know, it's like a family of people. So please join up, you know, Global Enlightenment Project. Go to the generic, you know, general healing groups and sign up. It's, you know, you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to worry. If you want to donate something, that's great. But, it would really help get back to that. You know, I want to get people back to their sovereign selves, get their power back so they can step out in the world and help others. That's why we're here. We're facilitators. The days of the guru and all this thing are over, you know. You don't need a guru because you are your own guru.
There are so many other things that I want to discuss with you, so I'm going to see whether or not we can make another date to get together and talk more about your work. I've loved having you on the show. I will send you a link of today's interview, and feel free to use it in whatever way you want. And of course, all the listeners know that they can go to the Progressive Radio Network archives and listen to the shows. And I just want to tell you, this was a real, real pleasure, Dr. Macklin. And I hope we can have a part two very shortly.
Absolutely. I'd love to. And thank you for having me on. Bless your heart.
Well, it's been my pleasure. So take good care and we'll talk very soon. Okay.
Thanks, Peter. God bless. Love
okay,
to you.
You too. Thanks so much.
God bless.
What an interesting and nice man. And he's obviously, doing some really important work. And of course, you know, Dr. Gary Nell and myself, you know, we talk about the importance of dealing with emotions and how emotions, how they really interfere not only with our relationships and our day-to-day life, but our physical well-being as well. And I think that we've all been through a very, very difficult time with the pandemic. But, you know, I look at things that the end of the pandemic, it can be a real restart
for our lives. It's a time to reflect. What do we want to do? Who do we want to spend time with? Who would we like to maybe never see again or never talk to again? So it's a time for reflection. It's also a wonderful, wonderful time to restart our lives in all kinds of new ways. And, you know, that's one of the things about having played competitive tennis all my life. And my father was my coach, and today may have been a bad day. I may have lost the match, but there's always tomorrow. There's always a new day. And I think it's really incumbent upon us to take a look at where we've been, where we are, and of course, much more importantly, where we want to go and what do we need to do to get to where we want to go and improve our lives emotionally and physically and sexually and psychiatrically and our relationships. And of course, I leave you with a really important message, of course, and that message is that we do not need to navigate our life. It's complicated these days, more and more these days, I think, than ever before. We don't need to do this on our own. So give yourself permission and do what is in your best interest and reach out and ask for help if you find that you're really going around in circles. So I leave you again with my two weekly messages, and I really want you to take these messages in. And the first is to do everything that you need to do, whether it's healing or medication or diet or psychotherapy, to live your life and do what is in your best interest to be good to yourself. And of course, the other message, and this is something that we all really do need to take in and think a lot more about, is that we all need to do a much, 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 much better job in learning to love each other, to respect each other, despite our differences, despite our socioeconomic status, our race, our ethnic backgrounds, our sexual orientation. And if we do that, I think we're going to find that our lives are going to be more joyful and happier, both physically and emotionally as well. So I hope you enjoyed today's show and have a really good rest of the day. And I will talk with you next week and every week on the Ask Beattie Show from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network. So again, love hearing from you, and be good to yourself. Talk with you next week. Bye-bye.